Man, it's just a good time of worship. Amen, church? All right. Hey, so today is Father's Day, and every year we always reach out and we ask kiddos some questions about their dads, and sometimes we have them say them, sometimes they're on the screen, sometimes I read them. So I'm going to read some things this morning, and the questions that I ask is, what's something that you really love about your dad, and what's some things that are silly or funny about your dad? And so here's some of those answers today. Oddly enough, man, these are fairly normal answers, except one, which I'm a little nervous about reading, but what I really love about my dad is he does a lot of work with me. He lets me do house projects with him. And that one thing I love about my dad is that his jokes are silly and he is hilarious. One of them said one dad had, I love that we go on daddy dates together. I love that he is nice. And I love that, or the funny thing about him is that he tickles me. I think that's a right of every father is to tickle our children. Amen? Like, right? And so one of them said this, what do you love about your dad? That he's kind and sweet and he brightens my day. I'm not sure my kids would say that about me. But I'll tell you what, man, way to go, dad, right? And he makes funny jokes that make everybody around him laugh. And here's this one. What do you love about your dad? I love that he prays with me every night. And I love when daddy spins me around in the air and wrestles with me. What does your dad do that is silly? He tickles us. He also pretends to be asleep, and when we wake him, he pretends to be a monster. He tells crazy jokes and tickles me until I toot. And so he also dances funny. Is that my kids? All right. Well, there you go. Don't follow my example. Well, maybe you should. I don't know. Hey, so happy Father's Day, Dad. It's good. It's good. Can we say toot in church? I just did twice. All right. So it's good to be here today. Hey, if you guys are online, thanks for being with us today. And dads, if you're out there, happy Father's Day to you as well. Jump on our website, authenticlifeaz.com. Print off those sermon notes for this the sermon, and then also for tithes and offerings, connection cards, and prayer requests. So for you guys have those in your chairs. Your sermon notes are on the back of your bulletins. And so let's dive in today. Today we celebrate fathers, amen, right? And so happy Father's Day to you guys. And when we think about Father's Day, we celebrate dads, biological, adopted dads, foster dads, grandparents. And guys, one thing we always celebrate at our church is spiritual dads. One of the things that Paul examples for us well is he grabs a hold of two young men, Titus and Timothy, and he calls them their children, his children in the faith. And so he's poured into them and helped them walk with Jesus. And as a dad, we have a spiritual responsibility it's an incredible responsibility to come alongside our kiddos and help them and mentor them and teach and help them grow in their walk with Christ. When we think about dads, here's an encouragement for you guys, is the Bible says this, Deuteronomy says this, love the Lord your God. Just let that sit with you for a second, men, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Men, that is our first priority in life, is to love God with every part of us. And when we do that, there's a lot of things out there that teach us how to be good dads. Amen? Lots of books and stuff. But if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your strength, man, that will lead you to become godly men, godly husbands, and godly dads. And so let's pursue that in our lives, to love him with all we are. And then he says this. It says, these words that I'm giving you today, so the word of God, what we hear from God, they are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, on the city gates. Our love for God and his word, they need to be evident in our life, dads. They need to be written on our heart. His words need to come out of our mouth. As dads, culture will teach us, hey, as long as you show up every now and then, right? You provide a paycheck, you protect your kids when they need them, teach them how to throw a football and all that other stuff, and you've done your job. And we should do those things. Amen? We should do those things. And if you don't have kids or you know someone that doesn't have a kid, do that for them. But the Bible tells us a little bit different. Says that we are to love the Lord our God first and foremost. And so let's be men that pursue Jesus and love God with all we are. I think that's our first step as dads, teaching our kids about the Lord. Guys, I want to encourage you. One of the things that I love to do with my kids, and moms too, let your kids see you in the Word. Let them see you studying the Word of God. Let them see you in prayer. Pray with them. Let them see that Jesus is the Lord of your life. I'll tell you, one of the greatest privileges that I have and what I love is when my kids, if I'm up late getting into the room, Daddy, are you going to pray with us or what? You know, and Daddy, would you read the Bible to me? And I just love it. It's an honor and a privilege to be called Dad. Amen. Guys, are you with me? So let's also take the time to give God praise for allowing us to have children or spiritual children in our lives. So I hope you guys are encouraged today and in your walk with Jesus. And I will say this, when we approach holidays like Father's Day or Mother's Day, a lot of times it's difficult for many reasons. Maybe you've wanted to be a dad and you're not yet. Maybe you don't have fond memories of your dad. Maybe you've lost your dad. Maybe you never knew your dad. And I'll tell you what, man, I know what the impact my dad has had on my life. I wish there was a way to go back and make that right. You know what I mean? Just to go back and do that. But we can't do that. So know this morning. We as your church, we love you. But most importantly, God loves you. Man, the perfect Father in heaven just loves you. He's the perfect example. He breathed life into you. He made you in his image. He formed you. He will never leave you nor forsake you if you know him as your Savior. Man, he's good. Andrew just... And Charles led us in that, man. He's a good, good father. And when you hurt, when you feel, he knows your heart. He feels your pain. He knows your past. Guys, he knows what you're feeling. He grieves with you if you're grieving today. And I think sometimes we just have to realize that we live in a broken world, you know? But God remains perfect and unbroken and just really the perfect father. And so, man, I just want to encourage you in that. So happy Father's Day to you guys. Let's just pursue being godly men. This morning, we're going to continue in our walk through Ephesians. Sometimes we'll take a pause in our series and we're going to focus on this sermon for today. But I'm just going to tell you, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there today. It just fits, guys, and it's what us as dads need to hear this morning. It's true for us. It's true for all of us. So Ephesians chapter 4, as you guys are turning there, there's a little bit of a recap before we get into that verse today. God used the Apostle Paul to write Ephesians. You took a man that persecuted Christians, killed Christians, had them arrested, beat them, oversaw a lot of that, and then he met Jesus, and God radically changed his life, and God used him to write this originally to the church in Ephesus and the surrounding churches, but also just as much for us today. And so Ephesians is broken out into two sections. The first three chapters are focused on who we are in Christ, right? Who we are in Christ. And then the second half is how do we live a life as Jesus followers? So in chapters 4, 5, and 6, we are being instructed, encouraged, and urged to walk our life as Jesus followers. Here's the reality, guys. If you're listening online or if you're here today, without Jesus, the Bible tells us that we are lost, we are slaves to our sins, we are spiritually dead, separated from God, and we will spend eternity apart from him in a place called hell. But when we know Jesus, here's who he says that you are. When we are saved, you have a brand new identity. The Bible says you are chosen, you're adopted, you're accepted and favored, you are loved, you are forgiven of each and every sin, you are redeemed, he paid a price for you, you are heirs of God, you are gifted to serve and glorify him and also the church, and you are sealed forever. What a great reminder. And here's the big thing Paul wants us to know is you're no longer who you used to be. Amen? Man, you belong to him and he is yours. And so what Paul does in chapter 4 is he begins to tell us what we should set aside, right? How we should change and then how we should live now. And I just love that as we're helping our kids, it's like, hey, stop doing this. But then we should tell them, here's what you should do instead. Amen, guys? Are you with me? Right? And so here's what we've seen over the last few weeks. Paul tells us that we're to lay aside lying and walk in the truth. We're to lay aside sinful anger and walk in righteous anger. We're to lay aside stealing and dishonest gain and then live out and pursue honest work so that you can give to those in need. And this morning we're going to see the same thing from Paul as he helps us know what to lay aside and what to put on. So would you guys stand with me as we honor God's word this morning and read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. If you are at home, stand, sit down, whatever you'd like to do, but let's read this together. God's word says this: let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment so that it will give grace to those who hear. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your book, your letter to us, God, that lets us know how much you love us and who we are because of you and how to walk with you and follow you. God, we pray, Lord, today that we would be submissive to you with our hearts and our minds, God, that we would be humble before you. Speak to us and teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Sometimes we come across texts in the Bible that are really tough. You got to dive deep into the Greek or the Hebrew, right? Andrew was telling me last night that he's studying Hebrew and going through all that. That's a fun part of studying, isn't it? And so sometimes you got to dive deep into that stuff. And then sometimes you come across passages that are just really practical and applicable, right? And so this is one of those verses today that Paul begins by telling us. He said, hey, Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what I want to tell you. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Guys, as we pursue and grow in our walk with Christ, the first thing that we see that Paul is calling us to do, that God is calling us to do, is this: lay aside destructive and corrupt words. Lay aside destructive and corrupt words. When we think about words, often we don't realize that the things that we say, the words that we use, they have weight, right? They are important. They matter. I didn't get a whole lot of help with this in the first service, so I need you all to help me on this one, okay? I literally said this and everybody just stared at me, okay? Can you help me out, bro? I need your help. Ready? All right. There's an old saying that goes like this. It says, sticks and stones may break my bones. Okay, you guys are good, man. Thank you. I got like six of you, but, you know, it's better than zero. So it sounds good, right? That saying sounds good. It has good intent. In fact, it was first mentioned and published in the mid-1800s, and it was actually written to help kids that were being bullied. So if people said things to them, they wouldn't respond. But here's the thing about that saying. It's not true. It's absolutely not true, right? It sounds good, but it's not true. Words can be used for good or for bad. Every word we say, the Bible says, is important. In fact, on your notes, you're going to see that Paul tells us that words are powerful. In fact, we're going to see that throughout the Word of God. Words are powerful. How we use them matters. As we look at this verse, we're going to see that words are powerful to help, and they're powerful to hurt. Powerful to help and powerful to hurt. We often miss the power that we have when it comes to words. There's that old saying, with great power comes great responsibility. And when we have something that is powerful as words, we need to be responsible with those. You guys know what love languages are? You know, I can't even speak English today. You guys know what love languages are, right? Dr. Chapman's got his love languages, five love languages. And so right now, you know, since we can't like shake hands and hug, you know, my physical touch is kind of out right now. That's my top one. But right next to it is words of affirmation, right? And so when people say words to me, when people use words to me, it changes my day. They can lift me up or they can destroy me for that day. You get what I'm saying? Like words are powerful. And Paul is saying that your words should give evidence that you belong to Jesus. And so he said, lay aside unwholesome words. That's a very important word. It's actually a very powerful word that we're going to dissect here in just a minute. But here's the thing, as Christians, it's not like when we get saved, all of a sudden the temptation to say words that we shouldn't say go away, right? Or how we say them. We're still tempted to do that. Galatians 5 talks about the battle that we have within us with our flesh and the Holy Spirit. We're still tempted to use unwholesome words. And Paul's saying, hey, let no unwholesome word come from your mouth. I think if we're honest, we would like exclusion clauses, right? I think we would like that. You know, if you're driving around in Tucson, you know, or you get stuck behind a train or whatever it is, I think you would like an exclusion clause that says, I can say unwholesome words in those places, right? Or maybe it's if you're hanging out with good friends and there's no ladies or no young people around, you're like, it's okay for me to say these words, right? I think we would like that clause. This is one of my favorite ones. I think if we're hanging out on social media, people aren't actually seeing me. It's okay if I type these words, right? But the truth is this, the words we say or type around our friends, around our families, around strangers, whatever we type into social media, they are words that we use, they have power, and they matter. And so Paul is saying, you're not who you used to be, so your words need to line up with that. It's time to lay aside unwholesome words. So what does it mean to say unwholesome words? Anybody ever use the word wholesome anymore? Like, right? Like, I remember my grandparents saying, you know, hey, I'm praying that you're going to find you a wholesome lady when you grow up so you can get married, right? I think I found me a wholesome lady, right? But you get what I'm saying? That's not a word we use a lot. So what does wholesome and unwholesome mean? In the Greek language, unwholesome has multiple words for definitions. But here's, in your translation, it may say things like this: corrupt talk. Anybody's Bible say corrupt talk? Right, that's a definition of that, right? Or it may say foul language. Sometimes pastors will use this just to get young people to stop cussing, right? Which we should, right? But there's a lot more to this. Here's what the word unwholesome means in the Greek. It means it is something that is rotten, spoiled, foul, or even worthless. It's not something that we think about when we think about words, but that's what that word means. In fact, when this word is used in their culture or in their language, it often refers to fruit or fish, right? You think about that, right? Fruit that has spoiled or fish that is now rotten, making it worthless. And Paul gives us this imagery on purpose just to help us get that idea of the power of our words. I remember a few years ago, Jessica and I, we began to ask the boys to help us do a few more chores. You guys got that right. As they get older, they do more chores, right? And so we were saying, hey, boys, help us carry, use your muscles, right? Help us carry groceries out of the car. And so it's Tucson. It's, you know, hot, Andrew, right? It's hot. And welcome to Tucson, man. And so not that it's hot enough already. Now we got a fire burning around us, man. It's just crazy. By the way, that's our prayer focus for the day, is to pray for that, man. It's just, this is devastating. By the way, I've got a friend that's a pastor that he can see the flames right out his back door. And so he's on the ready set part. So be praying for Brian, my buddy, so that he doesn't have to move. But I remember, you know, us telling them, hey, grab all the groceries, bring them in. And so they did. They did a good job, so we thought. And then a few days later, we go out there and it's nice and warm in the garage. And we open up that door, and everybody knows what smell I'm talking about, right? It just comes out and knocks you off your feet. Y'all know what I'm talking about, amen, right? That smell like something died, right? You're like, man, something died inside of here. And, man, it was a horrible smell. Everybody smelled that smell. And my boys, what happened was they were picking up food, right? And I think you said it was pork chops or something, right? It sat out there like for like 3 or 4 days in the heat, and it smelled wonderful. And so we had them for dinner, and it was, no, I'm just kidding. And so, man, and so no one knew it was there, just sat there. And guess what? It was corrupt. It was spoiled. It was rotten. It was worthless, right? Think about a fish going bad, right? It becomes rotten and worthless. You can't eat that. And if you do, not only is it gross and you're messed up, but it can make you sick. And Paul is wanting us to get that picture. He's saying, that's the power of your words. They can be rotten if they're unwholesome. And he's saying, hey, Jesus followers, know the importance of your words and lay aside words that are unwholesome, which are words that are destructive and words that are not helpful. They're hurtful and they are corrupt, rotten and worthless. Author and Pastor Tony Morita, he describes these words this way. What are unwholesome words? They are these things. They're words that they're lying. Abusive language, vulgar references, vicious and unkind words, gossip and slander. Dads, as you guys are here this morning, at whatever stage you are, maybe you're a spiritual dad where you're pouring into someone else, let me just encourage you this morning. You are in a position where your words carry weight. Your friends, your coworkers, your wives, your kiddos, they hear your words. And if our life is to point people to Jesus, do our words point them to Jesus? And dads, if you haven't, parents really, if you haven't figured it out, your kids hear you and they will repeat you. And a lot of times as parents, we use this phrase of do as I say, not as I do. First of all, that's not a biblical way of parenting, by the way. It's not healthy. Because your kids are going to see you, and they might not do it in front of you, but they're going to do it because they heard you do it. They've already got enough culture speaking into their life, amen, right? So it wants to be, hey, speak as I speak, right? Not as the world speaks. If I tell my kids, hey, don't speak these words, but if I do it, they're going to do it anyways. And so dads, parents, Christians, when we speak words, man, are they corrupt? Are they rotten? Are they words that tear people down? Sometimes it's easier just to take the word of God's word for it instead of mine. So we want to walk through some verses this morning to talk about the power of words. Proverbs 13:3 says this. It says, the one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. 16:24 says this. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body. Think about that. Pleasant words are health to the body. There's a strong word out of Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. David, man, just a powerful man of God. Psalm 141:3, he's asking God this. He said, Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Charles Spurgeon describes this verse that way. He says, when the Lord becomes the guard of our mouth and what comes out of it, the whole man is well garrisoned. That word garrison is really military language. It means this, the whole man or woman is well guarded when the Lord is in charge of what comes out of your mouth. That's a big word, man, right? When we look at the New Testament, James chapter 3. Man, I don't know that we get a better illustration about the power of the tongue and the power of our words. Listen to what it says as it describes the power of our tongue. It says this, "Now if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies." Think about the power of a horse, right? You stand behind that sucker, right, and that thing kicks you, you're done for, right? And so, but guess what? We can direct them and guide them and make them obey by a small bit that goes into their mouth. He says, consider ships. Anybody been on a cruise ship or military ship? And you think about the power of those? Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pirate, or pirate, woo, the pilot, maybe pirate, directs. It's in the Greek, guys. It's in there, right? So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. The power of the tongue. Verse 7 continues, every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. You look at how men and women have used their giftings to tame animals. But listen to what God says. It says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, think about this. We bless our Lord and Father, and we also curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Did your parents ever say to you, you say that word again, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap? I think God's kind of washing our mouths out with soap a little spiritually here. Amen, right? Think about what Paul is saying. The tongue and the words that come out of our mouth, they are powerful. And when we speak and we allow our flesh to be in control, unwholesome words, cursing, right? Words that tear down and cause destruction, they just come flowing out. Maybe that's why David says and he prays for God to guard his mouth because he can't do it on his own. Words are powerful to help and powerful to hurt. When Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, you know, he's actually talking more than about this right here. He's talking about this. He's talking about this. The Bible tells us, Jesus actually tells us in Luke 6:45, Jesus says that what comes out of our mouth is actually us speaking from the overflow of our heart. You see, when we follow Jesus, he saves us and he makes us new, right? He gives us a new heart, and that's where our words should come from. But we've still got that battle going on inside of us. So we're to be reminded, your heart no longer belongs to the world. Your heart no longer belongs to your sinful flesh. It belongs to the Lord. And so Christians, lay aside corrupt and destructive words. Remember, we started with this, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Tim Keller says this. He says, words designed to hurt are like toxic chemicals. Once they get into the ground, they just pollute everything. Anybody been a part of a family or a church or a group that just lets slander and gossip go wild? Man, it's toxic. That's of the devil, church. It's not of God. And so he says this, sticks and stones can only break your bones. There's a limit to that, right? But words can be soul destroying. Words matter. Dads, I just want, it's Father's Day. Let me just speak into us one last time on this. The words you speak in front of your kids or to your kids, man, they matter. They're powerful. They can help or hurt your child. And let me say this. The words you speak to your wife, they're powerful. The words you speak to your neighbors, your employees, your coworkers, they're powerful. Your kids are learning. Are they helpful or are they hurting? And so as dads, we lay aside unwholesome words. Let's lead our families in that. Ladies, do that as well. Lay aside the unwholesome words. Ask God to guard what comes out of your mouth so that our words don't hurt and their words that they don't tear down or destroy. Guys, there's no place in a Christian's life for gossip, for cussing, for words that tear down, words that aren't helpful, slander, because they don't reflect Christ. They don't reflect Christ. And so ask God to help you with that. And Paul continues in this verse. I love Paul. He doesn't just say, hey, stop this, but he says, replace it with this. And so here's what he tells us. He says, don't speak words of corruption and destruction and words that are vile. He says, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment so that it will give grace to those who hear. And so we lay aside unwholesome words and we replace it with this. We speak in a way that builds up. We speak in a way that builds up. Words that are good for edification. Words that give grace and spoken in the right time. Words that come from our heart and out of our mouth should be words that build up. Paul teaches us what that looks like. He says this. What's a word that builds up? They're words of edification, right? Words of edification. John MacArthur helps us understand that word. He says this, the Christian speech, when he's talking about edification, the Christian speech should be instructive, encouraging, uplifting, even when it must be corrective and suited for the moment. Tony Morita says this, speak constructive words that are helpful and build up others. On your notes, there are questions that proceed after that note that are going to help us as we learn to walk and lay aside unwholesome words. And how do we filter through? What are questions we should ask before we speak? Very applicable stuff this morning. It says, the first one is this, the words that I'm speaking as edification, is it helpful, encouraging, and uplifting? Is it helpful, encouraging, and uplifting? These are words of edification, right? If we speak true words that are helpful, encouraging, and uplifting, they build up those that are around you. Dads and moms, have you ever had that talk with your young kids, right, where, you know, you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, right? Or you just kind of tell them how to speak. And why do you do that? Because they say things that aren't good, right? And so you're correcting that. Some speak kind, encouraging words. You help them learn, right? And so that's kind of what God's doing with us this morning. We've all got things that come out of this thing right here that we shouldn't be saying. Or maybe they come out this way on social media or through a text that we shouldn't be saying. And so Paul is helping us. God is helping us and saying, hey, we need to be reminded of what comes out of our mouth. When we think about words that are helpful, they're words of instruction, right? As we train up those that are underneath us, we instruct people, we teach them words that help the people that we're speaking to. Guys, they can also mean, like we saw from MacArthur's quote, words that are for correction. A lot of times we have this, you know, this parenting style where, you know, my kid or my buddy, I didn't say that right, but you get what I'm saying. Like my kids are my best friends. That's not godly design. I'm just laying that out for you. We can argue about that later, but I'm just telling you, that's not God's design. God says that we're to raise our kids in the training and acknowledgement of the Lord, right? Be best friends with your husband or your wife or something. You get what I'm saying? But we have a responsibility to speak words of correction to our kids sometimes, or maybe it's to each other. We've already covered that in Ephesians 3:15. Paul says that we're to speak truth in love with one another. Ephesians 4:25 says, speak truth each one of you. So truth must be part of our speech. If we see a brother or sister that is walking in sin, then we got to speak truth into them. That's words of instruction to help them. Or maybe they just need you to speak truth in their life to help them grow in their walk with Christ. But we do it in love, in a way that builds them up. Words that are helpful, that help them learn and grow and not destroy. Words that encourage and uplift one another. I mean, think about that. Do our words build up others or do they tear them down? Do they speak life and encouragement? You know, as we're working with people and we think they should know better, and we all say, hey, you idiot, and then we speak words of truth into them, right? And that's not godly. Those are unwholesome words. And I'm going to tell you, in our world today, we need this. We need this reminder. And I said this in the first service too. We needed this reminder as well to pray for our leaders. Our leaders are in a position where their words matter. And a lot of times we're not hearing those words right now. Amen? Man, our leaders need to be. So pray for them. Pray that God would guard their mouth. Guys, I spoke with a brother in Christ this week. More than one, but one in particular. And guys, he was broken because of words that were spoken into him. They destroyed him. You know what I mean? Like this, it's just tough, man. We have a responsibility with our words. They need to be helpful and encouraging and uplifting. Guys, the enemy, Satan, wants to use our words in a way that destroys one another and what God has called good. But the Bible's teaching us that can't be a part of us. We got to build up and teach and instruct and encourage with our words. And we can do so because words are powerful. Dad, your kids, they need you to play ball with them. They need you to do all those things. But they need to hear words from you that are helpful, encouraging, and uplifting. Even if they're older. They need to hear words of truth and love to you there that are said in a way that helps them follow Jesus. Are you with me, men? Man, are your words, ladies, are your words helping your kids or those that are around you follow the Lord? Men, I don't know, maybe we're more guilty than ladies are, but I'm just going to speak to us. Sometimes we can say words out of anger or frustration, right? Or maybe because we're inconvenienced and we say words that just aren't godly. God is clear as dads. Let's build up our kids with words. Correct them with words in a loving way so that they know the truth and know how to follow the Lord. But I think we can answer these questions before speaking truth to anybody. Are they building them up? Are these words building this person up? Do they build my wife up? Do they build my husband up? Do they build my coworker, my children up? Lots of people have said a lot of things to me. But I remember almost every word my dad says to me. Are you with me, man? I mean, we have a responsibility to speak words that lift up. Are your words helpful, encouraging, and uplifting? Are they edifying? And then Paul says this, they're good for edification according to the need of the moment. So we can ask, are the words that I'm about to speak, are they building up? And also, is it the right moment? Is it the right moment? You don't always have to say something, right? Right? There's a time and a place to say certain things. Don't believe me? Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 25:11 says this, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples in silver settings. I don't know who eats gold apples, right? But the word of God is speaking of value, right? It's value. There is much more value to your words when we speak our words that are uplifting and at the proper time. And it also means this, holding our tongues when it's not the right time. As a parent, that's tough, right? And you get around certain people, but you just got to ask that question, is it the right time? There have been moments where I wanted to respond and speak even words of biblical truth, but when we pay attention and allow God to guard our mouth, sometimes he tells us, Jeff, it's just not the right time. Right? Is it don't say anything right now. Maybe someone else is supposed to speak that truth into their life, or maybe it's just not the right time. Now, talking about the right time, there are times where it's never right to say certain words, right? Unwholesome words. Guys, I don't ever find a right time where we should cuss. Right? Call me crazy. I just don't think that's God glorifying. I don't think there's ever a right time to slander or to gossip. Gosh, in the church, this is going to sting a little bit, right? When we think about gossip, it's never the right time to gossip, even if we start it with, hey, I'm telling you this so you can pray for them, right? There's no place for that in the church or in the life of a Jesus follower. Is it the right time? There's a moment. You heard the saying, think before you speak, right? Ask yourself these questions before you speak. Seek God, ask God, and ask for his wisdom before you speak. Is it the right words and is it the right moment? I remember as a young pastor, I became a pastor when I was 25 years old. I'd been in ministry and doing different things for a while, but I became a pastor at 25 years old, and I had a senior pastor that was a good friend to me. He was a mentor to me. He was my pastor. And I'll tell you what, he had the responsibility to speak truth into my life. So if you like me today, you know, you can give him a high five. If you don't, you can blame Paul. But you get what I'm saying? Man, it's just, man, he spoke encouragement into my life. He spoke truth into my life. He spoke correction into my life as I learned and grew. And I'm going to tell you what, he was the master at speaking in the right moment, wasn't he? Just a master at that. Man, he would speak truth in the proper time and in the proper place. Dads, as fathers, man, speak truth into your lives, into the lives of your kids, but in the right moment. Parents, people, Christians, right? We got to do that. When we're angry or frustrated or stressed out or in public, that might not be the right time to speak truth. Amen? I'm just telling you, man, sometimes just like you don't have to say something all the time. Ask God to guard our mouths and ask him, is it the right thing to say and is it the right time? We're going to close with this one. Is it full of grace? Is it full of grace? What we say and how we say it matters. What we say and how we say it matters. Here it is, church. If you know Jesus, if you've been saved, if you've been rescued from sin and hell and brought into the family of God, then you are recipients of God's grace, and he just lavishes that on us, doesn't he? He just pours that out on us. You're a recipient of that. You and I could never earn what God has given us. And so I'm just going to be honest. We have no choice but to pursue sharing grace with other people. And extending grace to other people, even in what we say and how we say it to them. Are we gracious with our words and how we speak to those that are close to us? Sometimes we think that people that are close to us that we love the most, we can just kind of talk to them however we want, right? And sometimes it's we don't know them, I'm never going to see them again. But are they seeing Jesus in you? Are they seeing his grace? Do they give evidence that you've received grace and that you know Jesus? Guys, this is a practical verse, very applicable, and I want to encourage us as men this morning, as dads, lay aside words that are unwholesome. Lay aside words that are destructive and hurtful. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't say this in the first service, even if it's to yourself. Amen? Sometimes we need to say that, right? Sometimes we just need to hear that, man. Don't let the devil win in how you speak to yourself. Let our words be words that are God-honoring, edifying, in the right moment, and full of grace. Let our words give evidence as dads, as men, as people, as followers of Christ, that Jesus has our heart and not the world. Words matter. They're powerful. What we type on social media through a text, what we say on the phone, what we say in public, let them be words that build up, edify in the right moment and full of grace. I'm glad we didn't skip this one, or not skip it, but pass it off. This is a good word for dads this morning. And it's a good word for us as followers of Christ, man. We got to be careful with what we say and how we say it. Amen. Are you with me, man? Amen, right? Are you with me? Right, so let's pray this morning, and let's seek God. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that you are the perfect Father. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. God, as dads, we can seek you and seek your example and how you love and how you provide and how you protect and how you lead. Perfect example for us, God. Thank you for being the best Father. God, as men, whether we're dads or spiritual dads, God, help us pursue you first and foremost, to love you with all we are, because that will make us better godly men and godly dads. God, I pray, Lord, today for the young people that are in here today, older people, if they help them speak words of encouragement to their dads today. I mean, dads need, even if we act like we don't, God, dads need to be encouraged. So God, encourage us. God, bless the dads today. Help us follow you. God, as Christians, Paul's getting at us these last few weeks, and lay aside this and put on this. And this morning, God, just a good word for us to remember that our words matter. They're powerful. Sometimes they don't just go away. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that you would guard our mouths, guard our tongues, guard our hearts. Help our hearts pursue you so that the words come out of our mouth are honoring to you. Just teach us this morning, God. God, I pray, Lord, for those that are online, those that are here today. God, we just can't assume that everybody knows Jesus. We're in a culture right here in Tucson where most don't. So we're about 95% of the people, 97% of the people, if they died today, would spend eternity in hell apart from you. God, I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus, today would be the day that they would see that you love them and that you died for them and you rose again, so that you can have a relationship with them. God, we pray, Lord, today that you would draw them near to you, and God, they would repent and they would call on you to save them. God, you tell us in your word that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead after he died for our sins, God, that we would be saved. And so, God, we pray, Lord, today that today, whether it's online or someone here today, God, that someone would respond to you today and be saved. God, we pray, Lord, for that. Jesus' name, with your eyes closed, just have that moment with God this morning. What is he teaching you? How is he helping you grow and pursue him this morning? If you're here or online this morning and you would say, man, I don't know Jesus. Man, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He wants you to have that relationship. He wants to adopt you into the family of God. If someone here today has said, you know what, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus can't change me until I know him. If that's you today and say, man, today I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to have you do a dance or jump up and down. Would you slip your hand up and say, today's the day I want to know Jesus, or I want to know more about Jesus. Jeff, would you teach me more about Jesus? Is that you today? I'm not asking if you're religious or if you have a Bible or if you listen to K-Love. I'm asking, do you know Jesus? If you're online today, man, send an email. Let us know. Fill out a connection card. We will respond to you immediately and talk to you about that. Man, we want you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'll give you guys a few minutes. Father, as we close this morning, we're going to go out and celebrate dads, have lunch, go through our life. God, we pray, Lord, today that we would walk out of here more like Jesus than when we walked in. Paul says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. The word tells us that we're to imitate God as his children. God, help us become more and more like Jesus. Help our dads, help me love you first and foremost in my life. Help me love you with all my heart and soul and strength. Let my kids see that in me. Let my wife see that in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord in response.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen bring many sons to I know with all my heart, shirt I gain from his reward. I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
All right, church. Hey, man, happy Father's Day. Let me encourage you on something today. Call your dads. Text your dads, right? No, if you got a phone, call them, man, or go visit them and let them know, unless you can't, wear a mask, all that good stuff, whatever. But also, if there's somebody that's poured into your life that's a spiritual dad to you, let them know. You know, encourage them. Speak words of encouragement into them today. Hey, on your way out, there's that box at the back welcome table. Put your connection card in there. Also, your offerings, your tithes and offerings in there. And we'll just have that. And then in the back, Jessica has a gift for our dads this morning. So, hey, guys, have a blessed day. Man, we love you. God's best to you.